And welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I review 1998's Half-Baked. Alright guys, welcome to the show. Before I get into the movie, I really want to talk about some things that I've watched this past week. I might even call this segment Things I've Watched. It might be a new segment on the show because I've been going into things, talking about things before I get into the review. It's been a thing I've been doing as of late, but yeah, I might call this a segment Things I've Watched. But anyway, yeah. I want to talk about the main thing I watched this week that probably everybody watched this weekend. My wife and I watched the Black is King visual album, I guess you could call it. It's a visual album by Beyoncé. And I got some thoughts about it. If you can say that. I got some thoughts about it. It's my opinion alone, you don't have to agree with it, but I think that it was, my opinion by the way, this is my opinion, I think it was the most narcissistic, just glad-handing, just unsincere bullshit I've ever seen. It's coming from the heart. I did not care for this at all. I did not like it. I did not like it at all. I did not like it, Sam I Am. I did not like the green eggs and ham. I did not. I did not care for it. It was just so narcissistic and insincere. That's the word I'm looking for. Insincere. It just felt insincere. And then you had the Lion King quotes in here, and it's not even from the good Lion King. It's from like the 2019 Lion King, which was trash. You know, I hate to just like jumped in there with that, but like the Lion King 2019 is trash. It's not good. But I just felt like Beyoncé was just being real insincere. She was being real narcissistic with this. There's other artists on here. It's a visual album. There's other artists on this album, and she just has to be there. You know, she might not have any lyrics on the song, but she just had to fucking be there. I think like she had like a song with Tara Whack, which is like one of my wife's favorite rappers. And like, she was like, excited. She's like, oh my God, is that Tara Whack? You know, like that's one of my wife's favorite rappers. And Tara Whack is rapping. I think there was like some other African chick like singing or rapping or something like that. And Beyoncé just had to be there. There was like another song with like some African dude. I don't know like none of these African artists, I'm gonna be honest. But like she was kind of like putting other people on, but kind of not putting other people on, because she just like, I found this person. I know who they are. I know this person. Am I hip? It was like she was trying to be hip and cool. You're like, am I hip? Am I cool? I know who Tara Rack is. I know who Jesse Reyes is. You know, am I cool? I know who the new people are. You know, so it was just, and it was like, yeah, because it was like a song with Jesse Reyes. Beyoncé wasn't on it at all. But like, she just had to be there. Like I said, like there's some African artists on there. And they were like doing some songs, and she just had to fucking be there, because she just has to be the end all be all of everything, you know, just everything. It's like just because she put black faces on a camera and she catered to black people and tried to cater to African people that this is supposed to be okay. Like, it's supposed to be okay. And then what she was doing, it was like, just because she watched Black Panther a couple fucking times, okay? Excuse my language. Just because she watched Black Panther a couple times, she's a fucking expert in Afropanism, you know, like Pan-Africanism. I'm sorry, I mixed the words up, but I'm heated. I'm fucking heated because the shit pissed me off. It made me apathetic. It was just very, I just felt apathy for the whole fucking thing. I really did, you know, and it was just not good. And like, cause like, I feel like she didn't mean it, you know. I feel like she was just being Afro. I feel like Beyonce now, ever since maybe like 2015, whenever she released that song back in like, when like she did like the Super Bowl with the Black Panthers and shit, and she was dressed like that. I just felt like she's been like Afrocentric for profit, you know. That's how I feel. I feel like she just found like a new lane to take her career and to just save her career. And that's how I feel. Like, I feel like she's just being Afrocentric for profit. And she's not sincere about it. She's not sincere at all about what she's doing here, because I felt a great level of insincerity and a great level of narcissism with this whole visual album. That's how I feel. That's how I felt. She wasn't being true to herself. She wasn't being true to, because even my wife was talking about this, because there's a scene, or like one of the songs, I forgot the name of the songs, because like all the songs just fucking fly by. But the one with Jay-Z on it, I'm gonna just say, like, the one with Jay-Z on it, where it was like, I know everybody was talking about they pissed, like, white people are pissed off that she had a white butler or some shit, but like, I don't give a fuck, you know, I really don't care. What I cared about is that she had African people on a goddamn plantation, you know, like, it was like, that shit looks so fucking slave. It looked like slavery. It looked like black people on Massa's plantation. That's what it looked like to me. And you could disagree if you want to. You can disagree if you want to. But like the way she had those black people lined up, then like she had those black people have doing like jobs and shit for her. It was like they were like working for her and Jay-Z, you know, and like she had the kids playing with Blue Ivy. And then like they had like that thing where like they're all like lined, they had that like that scene where like they're all like lined up on the fucking front lawn. Like, it looked like a fucking plantation. It looked like a plantation to me. That's how I feel. I was like, shit was not sincere at all. It wasn't her sister. I feel her sister Solange is more sincere than she is. And I like Solange. I actually like Solange's music. My wife actually turned me on to her with Seat at the Table, I believe that was the album. I like Seat at the Table. My wife was listening to it, and like I kind of was listening to it, and I was like, this is a great album. I like this album. You know, like Seat at the Table is sincere. When I Get Home is sincere. Black is King, not sincere at all. Okay? Done with that shit. Moving on, I am also watching the No Limit documentary, the miniseries that BET is doing about No Limit, which took me by surprise. I didn't even know they were doing this. But I'm like, I'm very excited for it. I already got through like the first two episodes. BET wrong for this. They're really wrong for this, because they ended the second episode on a cliffhanger, and they were like, oh, you gotta wait till next Wednesday to see what happened, you know, because I think I looked at the schedule for when the next, because I thought it was coming on Friday, and I think I looked at the schedule for the next episode, and it was like, next Wednesday. I'm like, you mother, ooh, I hate you, BET. But you know, but yeah, man, I was being a guy from New Orleans, a kid that grew up in New Orleans, you know, Master P was near and dear to a lot of our hearts, you know, and like it's just really good that they're starting to recognize New Orleans hip hop, because like you hear about Florida, you hear about Houston, you hear about Atlanta, you even hear about like Memphis, you know, hip hop, you know, like they got their guys, but everybody kind of just bypasses New Orleans, you know. And one of the biggest rappers in the world is from New Orleans, Lil Wayne, you know. And it's like they don't recognize that he's from New Orleans, you know. They don't glorify, you know, New Orleans. They don't put New Orleans in the same breath as Atlanta. They don't put New Orleans in the same breath as Houston, Texas. They don't put it in the same breath as Miami, Florida, you know, or Memphis, Tennessee. You know, like it's just like, oh yeah, they over there, you know. You know, and I'm just happy that all this stuff, because like they had the Hip Hop Evolution episode about New Orleans bounce music, you know, like stuff I grew up with, I grew up with like Fifth Ward Weeby and Cheeky Black and Hot Boy Ronald and all these guys, all these people, DJ Jubilee, you know, I grew up with all this stuff, you know. And it's just, I'm just happy that it's finally getting its notoriety. No Limit Records is finally getting its notoriety. Cash Money is finally getting its notoriety. I mean, like, the original Cash Money. I'm not talking about, like, Drake and Nicki Minaj and Tyga and all this shit. I'm talking about the original Cash Money. Juvenile, BG, Turk, Lil Wayne, Manny Fresh. You know, like, guys like those guys. UNLV. I think they mentioned UNLV, you know, on the Hip Hop Evolution and on the No Limit Chronicles. You know, like, I'm happy that those people are getting their recognition and they're getting their flowers. Mystical, Mia X, Silk the Shocker, even though he's not that good of a rapper, I'll admit. You know, like guys like that. Yeah, I think it's like Mr. Servon was on the goddamn documentary, on the Master P documentary. They mentioned Cain and Abel. You know, like, if you're from New Orleans, you know all these artists. You know, I'm like just happy that all these artists are getting their shine. They're getting their shine on. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I'm really into that. Can't wait. BET Dirty for leaving us on that cliffhanger. We gotta wait till next Wednesday to see what happens. Like, cause they left us on the Master P Suge Knight cliffhanger. You know. Because, like, Master P moved No Limit to L.A. or he had an office. And Suge and all that shit. Watch the goddamn first two episodes, man. Really good. Really well put together. I'm enjoying it. That's pretty much it. What else? I watched the first episode of Transformers War for Cybertron. Didn't really care for it. I just wanted to throw that in there right quick. Wasn't really a big fan of it. I don't know. Maybe I gotta watch a couple more episodes and I'll be a fan of it, but that first episode I thought was slow. I wasn't really feeling it. That's my critique on the new Transformers show. But like, those are the things that caught my eye that I watched this week. I'm gonna take a break and I'll be right back with the half-baked review. See you guys later. Today's episode is brought to you by Restaurant.com. For Restaurant.com, you can save at thousands of restaurants across the country with just a few clicks. Their dining deals range from $5 to $100, never expire, and cost you a fraction of the face value. Dinner has never been easier with Restaurant.com. Use it for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Restaurant.com is offering our listeners 50% off their next purchase by going to www.restaurant.com/podcast. That's www.restaurant.com/podcast for 50% off your next purchase. Restaurant.com, the best deal every meal. Okay, guys, Have Bait, 1998. Like I said, this movie came out in 1998, but I did not initially see it in 1998. I did not see this movie when it was initially released. I actually didn't see this movie until I was about like 16 years old. So like that was about like 2002, I want to say. Yeah, about like 2002. So this is a true, I want to say this is a true, which you might say meaning of I watched this as an adult, because watching this movie as an adult is, watching this movie as an adult is freaking wild to me, because I saw it at 16 years old. So when I saw it through 16 year old eyes, and you know how a 16 year old boy is, you know, like you know how a 16 year old boy is. So like this movie caught me at the right time. So when I was 16, up until about maybe like up like to my late teens, to my early 20s, I actually loved this movie. I thought it was one of the greatest movies of all time. Boy, I was wrong. You know, like I was so wrong. I think this movie caught my eye because like this movie is like oddly colorful. Like it's very, very colorful. Everybody's wearing bright colors. It's just like Dave Chappelle said. Dave Chappelle actually said this. He said that he felt like he was in a stoner movie for 12-year-olds. That's how he felt. He felt like they made a stoner movie for 12-year-olds. It's that like kid friendly, but not kid friendly, because the movie has curse words and they're smoking weed. You know. You know, so it was very, it's probably why the movie bombed, actually. You know, like, it's probably why the movie bombed, because they didn't focus on a target audience. You know, this movie did not focus on its target audience, which would probably be stoners. You know, it focused on, like, teenage boys, pretty much. Like, this is like a stoner movie for teenage boys, but a lot of the Kevin Smith movies are like that, but they're, I hate to say it, I love Kevin Smith. Like, he's one of my idols. I have to say that. Like, Kevin Smith is one of my fucking idols. But, he's not the best filmmaker, you might say. Especially now, but I look back at all his movies, and I probably shouldn't go into this because, like, it's probably one of the things I'm going to talk about when I do review some of his movies. And, like, I hold a lot of his early movies, like, near and dear to my heart. But, like, this is kind of, like, a lower class of those movies. This is Half-Baked is, like, a lower class of Clerks. It's a lower class of Chasing Amy. It's a lower class of Mallrats. You know, those movies. It's a lower class. Even, like, the Richard Linklater movie Slacker. It's a lower class of that. You know, it's like the dumb, this is like the dumbed down version of Slacker by Richard Linklater. Really, it really is. But that's what, I don't know, that's what they were going for, but that's what they got. That's the best way to describe this movie, is that it is the lesser version, dumbed down version of Slacker by Richard Linklater. But let's talk about this director, like Tamara Davis. Other movies that she directed before this were CB4 and Billy Madison. So that explains a lot, you know. Yeah, so like she's not the best movie director, you know. She's not the best movie director, but her like video, her like music video resume is like very impressive. Like these are some of the artists that she directed music videos for. She directed for Faith No More. She directed for the Bangles. She directed for the DOC. She directed for Young MC. She did Busta Move. Like, Busta Move, that's her video. She directed that video. Hanson Umbop. She did Umbop for Hanson. And she even did a couple music videos for the Beastie Boys. And she ended up actually marrying one of the Beastie Boys. She married Mike D from the Beastie Boys. So, good for her. But, like I said, not the best director. Because this movie tries to have a plot. And that might be for the writers, which are Dave Chappelle and Neil Brennan. But, this movie, like, tries to have a plot, but it gets distracted a lot. Like, the main plot gets distracted. Because, like, this movie can't tell a linear story for nothing in the world, for anything in the world. They try to tell a linear story, and the movie just veers off. You know, they're like, oh yeah, because like the main story is one of the, because like it's about these four friends, they all smoke weed, one of them goes to jail, and they got to get him out. But they do all this other bullshit. You know, it was like, oh, we got to get our friend out of jail. Oh, what's this? Oh, wait, what's this over here? You know? It's like, they do that, and the movie just falls to pieces. It really does. It gets bogged down by a lot of cameos, because, like, you got Jon Stewart in here, you got Snoop Dogg in here, you got Janine Garofalo, you got Bob Saget shows up, you got Dave from The Real World. If you know what I'm talking about, like Black Dave from The Real World, he shows up, he's in here. Willie Nelson, Stephen Baldwin, there's a lot of just cameos that you don't need, you know. Dave Chappelle is the star of this movie. Dave Chappelle, like, tries his best to hold this movie together, but he just can't because he doesn't have any experience, you know. Like, this is like his first starring role, I want to say. I mean, like, he's been in movies, because, like, he was in Robin Hood, Men in Tights, he was in Con Air, and he was in, I forgot to check, I want to know if this was before or after You Got Mail, because he's in You Got Mail with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, too, and I don't know if this is, like, before that or after that, because I forgot when You Got Mail came out, because You Got Mail came out like in like either like the mid to late 90s, but I don't know if it came out between like 96 and 99, so in that time frame. I don't know when he did that movie, but this is like his first starring role, so like he doesn't have the experience of holding a movie together, being the main focus of a movie, and he just kind of falters. He just falls apart. His other friends, Jim Brewer and Harlan Williams, like, they're just whack. I can remember a time where, like, they were really trying to push Harlan Williams down our throat, and we were just like, nah, we good, fam. You know, like, we good. You know, we don't need him. But don't you want this Harlan Williams? Nah, I'm good, son. I'm good. You could keep him. You know? And, like, this was one of those instances. Because, like, he had that movie Rocket Man. You know? He had that movie. But, like, and then Jim Brewer, he was on Saturday Night Live. You know, like, he's not the best Saturday Night Live cast member. You know? Sometimes I even forget that he was on Saturday Night Live when they bring it up. I'm like, oh, yeah, he was on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, they're just fucking whack. I don't care for them at all. The second person that tries in this movie is might be Guillermo Diaz. Guillermo Diaz as Scarface, the other best friend. He tries a little bit. Like, he tries to be funny. I've seen him in other things. It's like, he's not half bad. You know, because I believe he was on Scandal for a little bit. Like, he's not half bad on that. He was in, like, a couple other movies. You know, like, he's not that bad of an actor, and, like, he tries. He really tries. You got Rachel True. She plays like Dave Chappelle's character's love interest. I love me some Rachel True. I think she's a beautiful woman. She's good to look at. But not the best actress. You know, you can kind of tell, like, in some scenes, you can kind of tell that she cannot hold a serious face. Because even, like, there's a part where, like, she's supposed to be arguing with Dave Chappelle's character, and you can kind of see her smirk, you know? You can kind of see her smirk. And, like, she's trying to be mad, she's trying to be angry, but she just can't do it. You know, but like I said, love me some Rachel True. She's a national treasure. I want to say that, like, she's a national freaking treasure. But like, she seems like a lovely lady. Like, she seems like a nice lady, and she's, like I said, she's beautiful. She was one of my crushes growing up in the 90s. But I've always thought she wasn't the best actress. You know, I always thought she wasn't the best actress. That's how I felt about her. We have Sarah Silverman's sister in this movie. That's all I got to say about that. And we got Clarence Williams III as the surprise villain, Samson Simpson. And when I mean surprise villain, it's not like a Disney swerve or a wrestling swerve where, like, oh, he was the villain the whole time. I mean, this movie was like, oh, we need a conflict for these guys to fight. Get Clarence Williams III to be a villain. Clarence Williams III gives his 100% in everything he fucking does. I love Clarence Williams III. And like, I've always thought of Clarence Williams III as a bizarro William Dafoe. You know, like, him and William Dafoe are a lot alike. Or Clarence Williams III has been doing this for a lot longer than William Dafoe, but I guess you can say William Dafoe is a black Clarence, is a white Clarence Williams III. You might say that, but Clarence Williams III gives his best performance that he can with what he's given. That's all I can say about that. There's some scenes in here that I'm not gonna lie, the kind of funny, the prison shower scene's kind of funny. The date scene I related to, the scene where Dave Chappelle has to take Rachel True out on a date, but he doesn't have any money. You know, I related to that. I can really relate to that scene where, like, you're just like, oh shit, this girl wanna go on a date with me. She fine as all outdoors, and I ain't got no goddamn money, you know. So I got to stall her until I get some money, and then I could take her out again. Like, I've done that before. Well, like, I've stalled the girl out. And I stalled the girl out and had us do some bullshit because I ain't got no money. You know, like, and then when I get some money, I get paid. Or when I get some money, I'm like, yeah, let me take you out on a date again. And I just ball out of control on her. You know, like, I've done that before. But yeah, so, like, I really related to that scene. That's pretty much it with this movie, man. There's not a lot to talk about with this movie. Like, I do feel like this movie, like, falls into that 90s, like, SNL movie curse. And it's not even an SNL movie, you know, because, like, a lot of those movies in the 90s, it was like they just needed a vehicle for one of the SNL cast members. And they were like, we need something to, it was like, because, like, back in the day, they were like, we need something to put Chris Kattan in, or we need something to put Chris Farley in, David Spade, you know, like, we need something for them. We need something to put Tim Meadows in. Tim Meadows needs a movie, you know. So shit like that. So they just put some shit together. They just put some stuff together and just see what sticks, you know, like, you know, because, like, the movie doesn't have a well put together story, you know. It's just a bunch of colors and sounds that's all this movie is. It's just a bunch of colors and sounds. It almost, I think even Dave Chappelle talked about that. He was talking about how this movie almost killed his career, pretty much. I really think, because, like, he did this movie, and then I think, like, the next year, I think, like, 99 or 2000, he did, I want to say 99, he did Killing Them Softly, stand-up special that he did. I think that really kept him afloat. Killing Them Softly really kept him afloat for a couple years, because, like, it's a damn funny stand-up special. I still love Killing Them Softly. The things he talks about in that, the things he talks about in that stand-up special are hilarious. Talking about the baby selling dope at 2 a.m. It's the most hilarious stuff that you could ever, who thinks of that? I mean, like, that's how I knew, like, this dude Dave Chappelle's a freaking comedy genius, because who thinks about babies selling drugs at 2 a.m. in the morning, you know, in the projects? You know, who thinks of that? Nobody thinks about that. You know, like, that's the mind of a genius. And then, like I said, like a couple years later, he gets Chappelle Show, and then, like, it's smooth sailing from there, you know? So, real happy that brother, like, recovered from this movie. Like, this almost killed him. Like I said, this movie, just a bunch of colors and sounds. It's not anything to write home about. I give it a 2 out of 5. That's my score for it. I'm sticking to it. Next week, I will be reviewing the 2001, I don't know what you call it. I guess it's a drama. I guess it's a dance movie. I guess you could call it the 2000 dance drama. I guess you can call it 2001. Sorry. Dance drama, Save the Last Dance. If you like what you hear, I want you guys, because I haven't been doing this. I should have been doing this. I need you guys to rate, to comment. I need you guys to favorite on Anchor. I need you guys to, like, rate and comment on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast get to where it's got to go. I'm getting a couple of ratings. I'm getting a couple of great reviews now. Like, I'm trying to get on that chart, y'all. Like, I'm trying to get to where I got to go, man. It was like that's my goal. Okay, so guys, just, like, help me out there. Rate, comment, subscribe if you're listening. You know, it gets me to where I got to go. That's pretty much it. Like I said, Save the Last Dance next week. Peace, everybody.